Okay, basically, the first part is talking about rhubarb a little bit, and if you're wondering what the rhubarb principle is, it's God's word in our this moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent James talks about. Works this wonderful transformation and brings first fruits out. So if you know rhubarb, it really loves manure. You pour the manure and the compost to it, and you get this wonderful stuff for rhubarb crisp or rhubarb crumble. But anyway, that's what God's word does in our life, giving us birth in a wonderful spiritual sense. Anyway, I'm going to pick it up in the second section here. Anybody here use a mirror this morning? Probably most of you did. Mirrors are more useful as you get older. The hair starts growing everywhere except where it's supposed to. As a young boy, I often didn't care whether my hair was combed. Now I don't like to look foolish or slovenly when I get up in front of people. It's one thing to notice a hair in your eyebrow sticking straight out like mine sometimes do where it's not supposed to. But to deal with it requires that you pay attention. You need to remember what you saw in the mirror so you actually get around to grooming it. Last week, talking about our use of the tongue, we noted that James aims to encourage Christians to be more consistent, to follow through, to have their behavior better match their beliefs. Already in the early church, some were getting labeled as hypocrites because their deeds didn't match their doctrine. So in verse 22, James says, in effect, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, fooling yourselves." Here's where he brings in the mirror analogy. He says, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." Verse 25, on the other hand, says, "A person will be blessed if we continue to look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continue to do that, not forgetting what we've heard, but doing it." Continue to look into the perfect law that gives freedom, he says. Well, that sounds a little strange, a law that gives freedom. The original wording here means to stop and look into, gaze carefully, peer into. For example, don't just rush through reading the passage, but mull over the phrases with the benefit maybe of a Bible study commentary or even discuss them in a small group. Something that develops depth and helps you to apply the teaching. Speaking of mirrors, some people actually post slips of paper on their bathroom mirrors with verse to recall while you're brushing your teeth. You know, it takes time to brush your teeth. You might as well be looking at something useful while you're doing that. Tape a paper clip to the dashboard in your car and redeem the time at stoplights or when they're doing bridge repairs and you've got to sit there for 3 minutes or whatever it is. For that matter, download some good free biblical teaching to take with you as an MP3 in the vehicle. I just got an email this morning, ChristianAudio.com. Their free download of the month is Desiring God by John Piper. Really classic, good book. Hannah was talking about alcoholism and drugs and these things that people turn to try and satisfy the desires. But really desiring God is the way to do that that's really most fulfilling. Anyway, it's a free audio download available. Talk about a few verses with your family before dessert. All these methods help us become doers of the word, integrating it into our daily lives so we don't forget it. This is different from a legalism based on slavish obedience to rules like the Pharisees. Jesus taught, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will," what? "Set you free." Biblical principles are freeing. The Holy Spirit shows us how to apply them moment by moment. It's not a whole bunch of rules just to check off. Paul told the church at Rome, "Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." We've got something better than alcohol and drugs and all those counterfeits to turn to. What a difference it would make to those inner city kids to know that God loved them, made it possible for their sin and shame to be dealt with by Jesus' cross. And no matter how messy their home situation, God had a purpose in life for them. They mattered to Him. He had an eternal home reserved for them in heaven. And Christian friends, mentors like Hannah and Liesl and the others to encourage them along the way. Don't you just love it when someone cuts through the clutter and sums up something profound simply and memorably? verse 27, James gets right to the point about consistency, and he tells us God's definition of real religion. He says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Two parts there. First, we might label the first part charity or social action. To look after orphans and widows in their distress, literally, in the conditions that cause them pressure or oppression, that sense of powerlessness that Hannah was feeling. It's an amazing fact that God has set up the world in such a way as to gauge my love for Him by the way I respond to those in need who cross my path. Isn't that really weird and wonderful when you think about it? Can you believe that? Remember how Jesus associated love for God and love for others in the greatest commandment. He kind of tied them together. Even some proverbs put it plainly. He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. But whoever is kind to the needy honors God. And he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. Wouldn't that be strange? Think of yourself, the Lord's banker. You're lending to the Lord when you're kind to the needy. And the Lord will reward him for what he has done. Hannah and those who supported her invested a significant chunk of their time and resources helping these summer ministries for inner city kids to happen. Being kind to the needy honored God. Likewise, for those packing Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes and the volunteers going to help sort them November 30th. Anglicans across the country have raised $94,000 for suicide prevention initiative for Native children in the North, where suicide rates are 5 to 6 times the national average. And this Christmas, the Salvation Army hopes by its Santa Shuffle 5-kilometer run and 1-kilometer walk to raise over $400,000 again to address the needs of hundreds of thousands of Canadians who find themselves having to avail themselves of help over the coming winter. They're all bona fide charitable endeavors that diminish the suffering of the poor and are rewarded by God. How have you recently extended yourself on behalf of the orphan, the widow? But don't stop there with the outward dimension. An absolutely good and holy God requires that we be cleansed and made acceptable in purity if we're to be part of His kingdom, His eternal family over which He's truly Father. So part B of James' definition of true religion that's acceptable to God is to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The word polluted can be translated spotless or unstained. Robinson puts it more literally, to keep on keeping oneself unspecked from the world. Now, if you ever rode a bicycle through the mud with that stuff coming up behind you, getting specked all over, what could that mean? What's flying at us that we need to duck? Life Application Bible comments, we're not to adapt to the world's value system, which is based on money, power, and pleasure. True faith means nothing if we're contaminated with such values. When you come up to a group of guys or girls, do you just sort of fall into the groove of what they're talking about, regardless of caliber, or do you bring something extra? As you filter conversation, can you find other subjects to talk about than the usual money, markets, and gadgets? How about your browsing habits? Can you filter out immoral influences? Same for your TV viewing. I'm thankful to be able to record programs so I can watch them after and fast forward the ever so worldly commercials. Now there are tools that help you filter out programs with questionable ratings. Do you filter your reading material so you're spiritually built up after a week's worth? The Spirit of the Father of the heavenly lights will help us encourage one another in wholesome activities, entertainment, and pastimes, in such events as a free community breakfast. Wasn't that a hoot? That was a lot of fun to do together. So may we, in fact, become a kind of first fruits of all He created, showing others His goodness, sharing His abundant and perfect gifts. Religion that's the real thing. Let's pray.